All right, so welcome to another installment of the Northern Plains, North Central Group podcast sessions here. And I'm super excited to have with me Brennan Joseph from Maywood, Chicago FS, one of the reigning, I would say the reigning, FS sales rep of the year. Been on top of the rankings for the last, I don't even know, probably 18 months, 12 months, somewhere around there. And excited to have you on board. I know you and I talk a lot. We have a lot of conversations, and I thought it would make perfect sense to get you on this and broadcast the message and some of the things that you're doing to help yourself out in the field and to help help your proteges as well. So welcome, Brennan. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chase. I'm happy to be on your podcast for the first time, so looking forward to it today. And, you know, before we dive into it, I just wanted to say thanks, everybody, for listening. And feel free to call, text, email me. If anything we cover today strikes you and is something you want to dive into a little bit more. So, again, thanks for having me, Chase, and looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And I always like to talk about some accolades. And if you've had the pleasure and I guess you've worked your tail off to get there, but you've been on top of the FS rankings for a while now, done a lot of good stuff in the FS world. But walk me through some of your background before the FS and before Maywood and some of that thing, some of that stuff. Because I know you had a, I wouldn't say a traditional MT kind of rotation. I know you were a non-rental MT from my understanding. So walk us through your background, how you got into FS sales, and kind of what led you to this path.
All right. So, yep, I started in the direct sale office as a management trainee over in Bedford Park. And before that, actually, was working in finance in real estate, doing some analyst work. Spent a lot of days behind the computer in Excel, a lot of mundane, kind of what I would call a little bit boring analyst life. Wanted to get into some operations, and that's what turned me over to the direct sale side. Did a uniform merchandising rotation there, some account management and implementation, where I was pulled onto the airlines team because a GAM actually left Cintas amid negotiating the Southwest Airlines uniform contract. So they needed some manpower and some help over there. So did that, and that actually ended up being a lot longer than a typical rotation. And then finally, on my way into sales and did 1 month on inside sales on the phone, which you know, I learned was good practice for phone block, and then 5 months basically in Chicago trying to get into some hotels that we weren't doing direct sale business with. So I had some successes in that, and really that's kind of when my passion for sales developed. You know, I had a mentor over there that used to joke that nothing good happens at 5600 West 73rd Street. And, you know, in those 5 months or so in that rotation, I started to realize what he meant by that, Chase, and really wanted to go into sales full time on the direct sales side. They didn't have any image consultant jobs open in Chicago, particularly too. I didn't have much experience. So there were some associate roles open to sell scrubs on the direct sale side, so non-rental, and I'd be a sales associate and wouldn't have the chance at President's Club for that, so I decided not to and found my way over. Christy Shaparo took a chance on me and brought me in as a sales rep on her team, and you know, learned a lot from a lot of great people, including Jordan, our manager now. But it's been a great ride to reflect on the past year or so, and couldn't be more happy with my decision.
That's really cool, and it's cool that you mentioned Christy. Obviously, we know Christy was at Maywood, was super successful over there. But you also mentioned that you got to learn from Jordan, because I know you and Jordan work side by side. You probably did a lot of field rides with him when he was a rep. And I always think it's cool to tell that story and kind of paint that vision, because We talk about succession within succession, and that is, I mean, that's the textbook, or I should say that's the playbook, right? You bring in talent, they ride with your best reps. That best rep hopefully has promotional opportunities. They get promoted. And then, you know, a person like yourself or any other person, obviously, that's doing their job and doing a fantastic job of it, becomes a captain, then a mentor, or vice versa, or all of the above. And then the process just continues. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is to a T, exactly what we want it to look like. And you guys have done a fantastic job at Maywood there. And obviously, you've done a fantastic job in the field, which is very cool. So and obviously, you found some quick success over there at Maywood. That's fantastic. Obviously, we've seen you at the top of the rankings quite a bit. But, you know, and I mentioned you and I talk quite a bit. I would say every couple weeks or so. And we have a lot of different conversations about many things. But I know that one of the things that you really pride yourself on, and I'm excited for you to share with the group, is multiplying yourself and being extremely efficient with your time, especially, you know, I'm in Omaha. We've got a lot of drive time. We've got about a 3-hour radius of drive time, right? Well, your drive time or your commute time is just different. You've got a lot of places to hit. Traffic can be whatever it can be, and can throw a wrench in your day. So time, whether you're in Chicago or Omaha or Fargo or Bismarck or wherever it's at, is our most valuable asset. And I know that's something that's extremely important to you, and we talk about a lot. Can you walk me through kind of that multiplying yourself and being as efficient with your time as you can? I know it's something that you're extremely passionate about.
Sure. So with the whole multiplying yourself theme, I reflect on some advice that I received early on. I was asking for advice going into sales, a little bit uneasy, not knowing exactly what I was getting myself into. And the overlying themes were time management and focus. So I was dedicated to being focused and trying to learn how, when, and where to spend my time. So to reflect on early on, Chase, something I call that a period that every rep goes through as a new rep, as the OSV heyday, I was on-siting tons of places every day. I remember my first day in the field, I did not have many appointments, and the ones I did, to be honest, they weren't too great. So I knew I needed to make up time for that day specifically. And so that day, I think I went on like some 37 on-sites. I had a piece of paper I was keeping notes on and counting them, and I actually still have that paper today, and it's just numbered and what I went into, who I talked to, who they were using. And what I learned was through the next week or so, a lot of people kept saying, Brennan, your timing's perfect. We were just talking about how we need a better supplier, or something along the lines of, wow, yeah, this is perfect. We're actually opening in 2 weeks. We need to get signed up with someone. So but what these people didn't know was I'd actually on-sited and visited a lot of prospects that day, but to them, it was perfect. So I looked up a quote on that, something I printed above my desk and still have to this day, that goes, the man in the most places is most likely to be in the right place at the right time. And so I was thinking, okay, how can I be in more places and therefore multiply myself? And that's where the theme started, and I've been kind of running with that ever since.
That's a great point. You know, in I love the activity that you talked about, but you know, I talk about with my team, create your own luck, and I will be 100% honest. That's why I thoroughly that's why I'm so passionate about our CentOS sales roles, because I've got a friend who sells IT solutions. He can do everything right in his job. He can call as many as places he can be, and he can do everything right that he can do, and he can still not win. In our roles, we control our own destiny, and we can create our own luck every single day. And that's that speaks to your quote. That speaks to you know, the create your own luck the quote. And I'm extremely passionate about that, because Whether you're having a good day, a bad day, you're in a rut, it's been a rough couple weeks, we have the ability every single day to affect change in our role. And I think we need to, a good message there is that we always have, we can take the bull by the horns and go after it. So I'm glad you brought that up. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And something we talk about too, that you alluded to there, was just being as effective in your last meeting at 5 o'clock as you are at the beginning of the day. And if something cancels on you, it's okay, now what? How am I going to make good use of this hour? So multiplying yourself is where I evolved through with all this.
Awesome. Well, you talk about multiplying yourself a lot. How are some, I'm just putting myself in people who are listening. What are some things that you do, whether it's a daily routine, whether it's weekly routines, what are some routines and some things that you do that help you multiply your time or multiply yourself throughout the week so you can be the most effective in your role?
So the first thing I like to do to start a day, Chase, is just making sure that everyone has whatever information they need from me to get their job done so that they have all day to do it. So whether that's information in my SSRs, information in my service managers, paperwork into my NAC, so that I know that they have all day to work on that. And in terms of just general multiplying yourself with your SSRs, those are your eyes and ears out in the field, really. So coaching my SSRs has been huge on what to look for me. And then more importantly for them is the what's in it for them, making sure that these guys get paid out immediately so that if there is something opening and they're driving around all day long, they'll see it and text me. So that's been big. So my team of SSRs, but also too, for targets, big first aid accounts that I can't get into, those SSRs on the first aid side, they spend a couple hours sometimes servicing these larger accounts and have pretty good relationships. And if it's a customer that's been around for a while and maybe the first aid sales rep no longer has the relationship there, those SSRs will. And so if I'm unable to set an appointment on the phone or get through and on-site to get through security, I'll go with those SSRs and have a warm intro from them into, expanding their account with CentOS onto the FS side.
That's really cool. I actually, and personally, that's something that my team, that's a takeaway from this conversation for me and my team. We don't do enough of that between rental and first aid and safety. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm sure I'm not the only one who's not taking advantage of that like potentially I should. And I know that's a big needle mover that we could all take advantage of. So that's one that I'm going to take note of for sure and pass along to my team and make sure that we're doing a better job of. That's awesome.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and that covers kind of the first aid side of multiply yourself. And from top down, whether it's Wendy, Dave, Shelby, Angie, Jordan, you, talking about multiplying ourselves through cross-sell, but we also have the matrix. So, checking in with your matrix partners, making sure they know you're there, they know you're working for them, and also ideally, helping get some win-win situations where you guys can help each other, because the reality is you just can't be in every place at once. So you can't run every single meeting. Or if you don't need to be there and they're there, and you can still, have more, things going than just what you're working on. So, that's big. And then also too, so just making sure that they're on top of it for you and you're on top of it for them. I think that goes a long way with them too, helping them out get to their goals.
Yeah, that's for instance, in my market, the MAM role is fairly new. I know Chicago is one of the first areas that I'm aware of that really had a MAM in probably every segment, really. Hospitality, healthcare, you know, corporate mayhem, government, all of those ones. And that's something that, you know, we're figuring out on my end. But can you walk me through how you work side by side with your mayhems, and how that how you're able to effectively utilize time, multiply yourself with them? Like, what does that sales process look like when you work with a mayhem side by side, and how do you go about making sure that it's effective and for everybody?
Sure. Well, so I had a relatively large win, a pretty big win, actually, the Lurie Children's Hospital. I don't know what I'm talking about. It was a pretty big win. It was about $4,000 last year, with Alyssa. And it's a deal I think she may have been working on for a year or so, and I probably got pulled into the mix some 8 months into it. But staying close with Alyssa, helping her out with some of these non-acutes and doing what I can to help towards that healthcare number, just to be relevant as much as possible with all of my Matrix partners, and have some wins too with Joe Napoli on the corporate account side. And, that's a really good example too. Joe's obviously really good, and being able to help him out where I can, and then also turn over some things where he can help run with it, and it's win-win for all of us. So big on the Matrix side too.
That's great, and I've heard it a multitude of different ways, but it sounds like the route that you've taken, where you're out there uncovering, passing it on, going side by side on maybe that first couple meetings, and then again you're out doing what you're really good at, right? You're selling the 1, 2, 3, 400 sized accounts, average weekly volume $400 or so. Meanwhile, Joe or Alyssa or somebody else is working in the background for you and with you, but you don't necessarily have to be there all the time. And it sounds like that's always a great way to multiply yourself and obviously help yourself obviously earn more dollars, install more business. Obviously, we know quarterly bonuses come with from that, but we know that you get some wins with these Matrix partners, and they know that you're going to work for them. You know they're going to work for you. Obviously, success is going to follow even more quickly, and usually bigger wins. So that's a great point. Sure. I'm glad you brought that up.
And another thing too that just made me think of that we haven't mentioned yet is when Jose came over from being a service manager to MDR, there was a gap where we were running without a service manager, and really ended up taking for granted being able to kick over certain things or have some help. So just know you have that network that can help you with some things, so that ideally you can get back to what it was that you're hired to do, and that's prospecting and selling. So kick over everything you can to your service managers and get to know them, check in with them, check in with your supervisors, check in with your SSR. If it's something that your SSR can handle while he's on site, let him know what to do, what to expect, and where to go to talk to some customers to ideally help multiply your time, give you some more time back towards what it is that we all love to do. So that's another big one too that we hadn't mentioned just yet.
Yeah, I love that. That's a we get caught up in, I talk about money making activities. Some people say like input producing activities or income producing activities, however you want to say it. I know it's a trap that a lot of our reps can get caught into is trying to make customers happy when we need to, or when something comes up. But at the end of the day, we've got to remember we don't our job is to generate more revenue than the day before. So that's a great point. Don't be afraid to utilize those resources, because at the end of the day, that's their job, and our job is to go sell business. So don't be afraid to do that.
Yeah, and there's only going to be some things that we're able to control. So you got to control what you can control and let some things fall into place as well.
That's perfect. And speaking of, one of the things that you can control, one of the things I know that's come up in our conversation that I thought was really cool, I haven't heard of it before, and I know you do it, and you want to walk me through this Google Alerts thing, because I don't want to say I'm old, but I'm older than you, and I thought I was pretty technologically savvy, but this is pretty cool, and I think this is a good takeaway for everybody. If they're not using it already or utilizing it already, I think it's a very cool thing that we can do to help make our lives a little bit easier out in the field.
Sure. So Google Alerts, that's definitely something we've been preaching here at Chicago FS. My old manager in DSSM actually turned me on to Google Alerts. We set one for Cintas. He made all the MTs do it so that any article that's posted that day that mentions Cintas will get consolidated into one email, so you can click on the links and sent to you every night or at whatever time you set them for. So, thinking early on in the sales career on how I can multiply myself and find more prospects, and ideally find prospects too that don't have a programmer yet. I set Google Alerts for a new restaurant, Chicago, a new restaurant, and then all of my zip codes. So I probably have about, maybe 10 of them running. New liquor license, because they're going to file for their licenses before any article on the restaurant itself is even written. And part of me is thinking that now I'm going to have a lot more competition coming from Bedford, from Uniform Refs, spilling the secret on that one. But I think it's a tool that we all should be using. And it helps minimize some of that research that we feel we have to do or to know what's going on in your territory, to just have that automatically sent to you every day. That's been pretty big. And I've had some pretty good wins from it. And I know a lot of people on our team recently have been having wins from it too. So
that's awesome.
It's a good tool.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think that's something I'm going to implement. Unlike Chicago, for instance, I think my reps have like 50 zip codes, so might not have 50 Google Alerts, but we can certainly say Omaha and help consolidate that one and help us all out. So I know, again, that's another one I'm going to take to hopefully then I can just kind of forward those out and hopefully sell some more business, because at the end of the day, that's obviously our goal. But that's really cool. I had never... I had heard about it, but I never knew what it was until you showed me what it was the other day. So that's awesome, and I think that's another big takeaway that we can do that's going to give us some time back in our day, obviously help us multiply ourselves so we're not doing any research and we're not having to, to have, four different liquor license reports or the new liquor license report that gets mailed to you or any of that stuff. It's just a really cool tool that we can all use, so... I appreciate you mentioning that one.
Let me know too if we get any success from your team over on those. Be interested to hear it. So
yeah, I will do for sure. Yeah, so another thing that I wanted to talk about, and I always tell people it's easy to stay motivated. It's easy to continue. Get out there and make 5 extra cold calls or OSVs, 5 extra phone calls when you're chasing the guy on top. You've obviously had some success. I mean, $25,000 last year in volume, pinnacle rep, and you're not giving any of that back this year. Sustained success appears to be something that you pride yourself on, because you've been at where you're at for a long time. How have you managed to either stay motivated, but then just continue to do what you're doing for the last 6-8 quarters, so that you've been this successful for?
Absolutely, Chase. So I think what you mentioned and competing on the leaderboard chart that gets sent out every week, that's definitely a great tool for keeping us all motivated. I like to think too that our biggest competition is really ourselves from the day before. So beating yourself from the day before, from the week before, and not always from a sold dollars perspective, but from the input money generating activities that you mentioned earlier. So making sure that you're doing more, and that starts compounding on itself, and the job starts to get a little bit easier. The more you put in, the more you're going to get out of it. But so for me, it's just general thoughts on goal setting is always being the best you can be, get better every day, take something away from a meeting where you think you could have done better. Take things away that you did do well. If you sell a meeting, write down what you did well. Replicate that. Duplicate it through your next meetings. But then, too, just with the sustained success in general, you know, I think it's really a team effort, Chase, and you know this, too, but, you know, there's been a lot of people involved in that success, whether it's the office, loaders, unloaders. I think I ran a report last year, actually, Chase, and, you know, delivered over 35,000 cases of SIG toilet paper. I kind of got a little intrigued and curious. Just wanted to run that report, but it's about 500 million feet of SIG toilet paper. So, you know, I can't take all the credit on that. There's a lot of people involved in that, and whether that be the SSR, the office, or service managers, but everyone makes it happen, and that's also part of the whole multiplying yourself theme. Everyone makes all this happen. Can't take full credit for everything, but when it comes to sustained success in general, I think you know, that you're going to have good weeks, you're going to have bad weeks, you're going to have great weeks. But don't celebrate too long when you close a big account, because you know, I'm not a big sports analogy guy, but you're not going to take the take LeBron James out of the game when he's not missing any shots. So if you close a big target, and especially if it's early in the week, that's a trap, right? As a sales rep, you're like, oh man, I'm good. I'm good here for this week, and you know, potentially even into next week. But if you step on the gas, that's how those good weeks become great weeks. That's how those great weeks become excellent weeks and excellent quarters and an excellent year. So just keeping on it and staying true to the process and discipline and holding yourself to a higher accountability and a higher standard.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot that you hit on, and I loved every bit of it. And you know what I find when I talk to, you know, when I've been doing this, you know, for the most part, it's very simple, but it's so simple it's hard. The most successful reps are the most disciplined reps. And so it's not getting too high, not getting too low, staying in your lane of, yeah, you might sell a Monday or Tuesday, close a target, but you know, people who have a PC week, you know, by Monday or Tuesday, like that's 1 week. You got 51 more to go get. And it's just that constant discipline, constant staying on top of it. And then there's a fire that's fueled somewhere within everybody there, that they just don't want to lose. And it's that combination of all of those things that you mentioned and talked about that obviously leads to to a ton of sustained success, which is great. So, you know, it does take a team environment, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because we know, you know, on the sales side, we get celebrated a lot for our wins. We get celebrated, you know, for almost anything, I feel like, which is, it's just good. That's why we're in the roles. But there's so many people that help us service these customers that don't get celebrated. I would say it's our job as sales reps to help celebrate all those people that helped help get the product to the customers, help sell the business, and help create raving fans. So that's a good point. I don't want to lose sight of that. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
Definitely. I appreciate it. Thanks, Chase. Just big on that. It's definitely team effort and making sure that everyone knows that they're a part of it too. Because we get a lot of the glory when we sell a big account, and you know, we couldn't sell it without a lot of the people we talk about on the back end that are going to make it happen.
Yep. And by the way, I'm going to put you on the spot here. So you and I, like I said, we've talked a bit. We've talked often, and I think you might have slipped up and said that you've never lost a competitive deal, and then you checked yourself, and you were like, I've never lost a competitive deal that included this specific competitor, and then you try to sidestep that one too. So I want you to talk about your competitive situations, and I want you to talk about your process and your sales process in those competitive situations regarding no programmers, even more specifically, any of those competitive situations that might include one specific competitor, which I think will be interesting for everybody else to hear, how you don't lose any of them. Go ahead.
So I definitely want to clear the air, though, Chase, on that. So I didn't mean every single deal, right? I'm huge on reference letters, and they go a long way with our customers. Early on, one of Tony Blunda's trainings with us was on passion and proof, and definitely had a lot of passion. Talking about the greatest dispensers in the world, greatest service in the world, all this stuff, and potentially looked crazy, Cintas puking in front of some prospects, but realized early on I needed some proof. So got some reference letters from my early takeaways from Aramark, and historically it's not every single one, but I have a major advantage going up against them or with other takeaways from them when presenting these references, because it's not all of a sudden the conversation with your prospect changes a little bit from, hey, listen to what me as a Cintas sales rep is going to tell you and how great it's going to be, to listen to what my current customer base is saying about working with me and about working with Cintas and why you should make the switch now, because you're missing out if you're not. So early on, bring that up in the sales process itself, especially with competitors, and try to do it in a tasteful manner where you're not just bashing the competitor, although that can be pretty fun too. absolutely, especially too with no programmers, there's a lot of uncertainty and unease, and they need to be calmed and educated on how a rental program is going to go down, because there's probably some comfort in their current systems, whether that's their ordering, their procurement, whatever it may be. There's some comfort around that because it works for them, even though you know that they need to be in a rental program, and you're kind of mind blown that they're not. So it goes a long way having those to bring with me, and it's something that we talk about a lot too, is our reference letters, and I think that's another tool to multiply yourself that should be brought, and every rep should be bringing with them onto their competitive appointments, or even just any no programmer appointments too.
Yeah, that's great. And we talk about, we share whole stories. I know Angie sends those out a lot. Our competitive intelligence champions are hopefully sharing those on Mondays and gathering those. Reference letters combined with those, I mean, I don't want to say we're going to win every deal, but it makes us the obvious choice when our customers are going to make a decision, or our prospects are going to make a decision. But I just hope that all of our reps are utilizing those, because you don't want to give everything you could to a presentation and a customer or a prospect, but then get back to your car and realize that you left some ammunition back in your car. So I just hope that everybody is using those, because they will help us win a lot of deals, and they'll help us win a lot of sales. And it might not be today. It might be 6 months from now when that customer or prospect tells you, you told me so, right? They did exactly what you said you were going to do. They were going to do. And I always tell my reps, like, we need those sold dollars today just as much as we're going to need them in 6 months, or vice versa. Like, that number never goes away. So, again, it all goes into your funnel, and you're going to sell it at some point, whether it's today or in 6 months. Don't leave that ammunition behind. Don't leave it in your car because you don't want to feel too salesy. Like, those are the things that help seal the deal, because, again, we're salespeople. We can say whatever we want to say, and I know Tony says that a lot, but let me show you the proof, and the proof is that Cintas is the best choice for you. So I'm glad you mentioned that. That's awesome.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up too. That's a good point.
I know another thing that we talk about a lot is account max, and I don't want to drag on too long here. I know, you've got a lot of appointments to head on to, but I know that's something that you're passionate about. I know that's something that, our top reps, if you look at their account maxes, they're really good at new storefronts, but they're also really good at, maxing out their every single account rather than just getting a couple floor mats or terry towels and aprons only. What are some best practices that you've seen or you've been able to implement that have helped to help max out some of these accounts and make sure that we have more than 4, 5, 6, 7 products in a customer.
Definitely, Chase. So one thing that's big is you phone block an appointment, at least for me. I'd be interested in hearing from everyone else that's tuned in this far on the call and on what they do for account max. But for me, something that's big is if I phone block an account and say they're using Allsco and just getting towels, aprons, and masks or whatever it may be, I try to stay very assumptive that they took my meeting and were setting those items up today. Didn't come out to talk about if maybe a proposal looks good and if it makes sense and if the timing's good. So trying to just assume all that stuff, but I'm really here to talk about your chemicals, your 6 series, your restroom and hygiene, your Ultra Clean, everything else that you're not getting, because we're already going to start doing all that stuff. So trying to just stay assumptive on getting everything, all zones. That's something I'm big on and it's easiest to do from the get-go, especially in that 13-week window. So making sure you're on top of all that and combing through it, week 10, 11, 12, try not to leave any volume out there that you're entitled to with a good relationship with that customer. So
very good.
That's my big thing, Chase, on account max.
Awesome. Yeah, and I love, Keith was one of my MDRs. We're friends. But I didn't want Keith getting any low hanging fruit. So Keith and I in the office, we had a battle every day because I didn't want him to like any of the accounts that I set up, because I didn't want there to be any meat left on the bone. And part of that is that fun competitive environment that we have as sales reps, where we get to compete with each other on a daily basis, and it's kind of a fun little way to keep yourself motivated. And obviously, all of the things that we have, our customers are buying anyway. So we just gotta be really good at providing that case of why we're the obvious choice for them on the stuff that they're already purchasing. And I think we do a fairly good job of it. But what I've noticed is everybody that's at the top or towards the top of the rankings, their account maxes are just, they're just awesome. We do a great job of that. So that's something that we can definitely do to help promote within everybody is how to max out our accounts a little bit better across the board.
Absolutely.
Brendan, I don't have much else. I guess one question that I always kind of close with is just from a, if you had anybody listening, if you could, I guess, give one piece of advice or one message for everybody who's listening, what would that be? And what would some advice or anything else that you would provide to anybody who's listening be? And what message would you want that to be?
Sure, Chase. Reflecting too on the past few years, I really think, I remember sitting in Jordan's car and talking about what the President's Club goal was, and then being like, okay, so what do you average sell a Terry towel for? And just trying to break down that huge number, right? And break it down bit by bit, month by month, week by week, and really just choosing that as your mindset, choosing success is big. You got to choose it every single day, focus and time management. But I really think that my biggest takeaway and advice, especially to our newer field reps, would be that anyone can do it, and it'll get easier over time. You're going to get better and better, and your closing ratio is going to go up. And ideally, being more effective with your time and pulling all your levers and multiplying yourself. This job gets easier. It gets really fun too. And that would be my advice, is just to choose that mindset every day that you're going to go out there and win. I know, Chase, you and I talk about that a lot, and the philosophies behind sales and mindsets and positivity, but just choosing to be successful and choosing to go out there and win. And choosing that every day over and over.
Yeah, that's and I know Dave did a a podcast with us or with me about the choice. You have a choice to come to work for CentOS every single day, and we, you know, as a sales leader, I appreciate that. I know all of our leaders appreciate that. But if you're gonna make that choice, you know what he says, if you're gonna make that choice and you're gonna do it, why would we show up and be mediocre? And so the choice is on us every single day to go out there and be as successful as we can be, and we pay you pretty good to do it. So I think that's a great thing to end on. If you're good with that, Brennan, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you you being an excellent mentor. I know you were a mentor of the quarter. I know you're always available for phone conversations with anybody who wants to reach out. I know you always go above and beyond in that, and you're always willing to help somebody or you know, talk through whatever it is that they might need. So I want to thank you for that on behalf of the market and the group and all of those things. We appreciate that. Obviously, you're doing a great job out in the field, and I don't anticipate that slowing down anytime soon, so obviously we appreciate that too. But I appreciate all of the insight today. You've got a lot of great things. I took a lot of good things, and I got a couple really good takeaways from this, so I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chase. I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you in a bit, but I want to say thanks for everyone for listening this far. Hopefully you found some things helpful, and give me a call if I can ever help you with anything. So, thanks, Chase.
Yep. Awesome. Thanks, Brennan.